For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sleepers Podcast, it is Tuesday, March 5th. Big game today, Cart. We are en route to Champaign right now. Is it en route, en route, or in route? In route?
In route.
En route.
In route.
I think it's en route.
Gym route?
I love Jim Root.
I do love Jim Root.
I love a shout out to the Three Man Weave, by the way. I watched they've been doing the Best Bets shows again. They brought them back, which is great. They got this cool thing going on with Circa they have a partnership with right now. And they were crushing it on the Saturday slate. And I don't think it's a coincidence that I hit a huge bet after watching the Three Man Weave betting show. Go watch that. Also, watch us. Thanks for being here on the Sleepers podcast, Sleepers channel. Should be fun. We got some good topics for you today. Big Ten basketball rolls on. But, Cart, first, we have an announcement to make.
What's the announcement?
Well, we have a new partnership here at Sleepers Media. Have you heard?
I've heard rumblings, but nothing as a nothing for sure. Why? What do you got? You got something for me?
Cart, what do the words free book mean to you?
Free book?
Free book. What do those words mean to you?
They mean a lot.
Well, it doesn't exactly apply to what I'm trying to do, but book, my bookie. That's our new partner. We have a presenting sponsor here on the Sleepers Media channel that we are just announcing as the month of March begins that we are going to work with for the next couple of months. Shout out to my bookie. You're going to hear their name a lot on every single video on the Sleepers channel for the remainder of the season and beyond. So we have some offers to present to you. In fact, you can see them in the description of this video. But as college basketball season heats up, Cart, betting is heating up over at MyBookie. You can turn your basketball knowledge and skill into wins at MyBookie, where every single shot, every spin, every bet opens the door to a payday. Whether you're backing Michigan State to beat a hobbled Northwestern, or whether you're backing Juwan Howard to lose his 24th game of the season, you can experience the thrills at MyBookie, who provides a world-class betting experience. You can get a 50% bonus on your first deposit with promo code SLEEPERS and experience the thrill all on your own. From the latest slots to classic table games, MyBookie offers a one-stop shop from the court to the casino. That's promo code SLEEPERS. Bet with us at MyBookie anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie. You love MyBookie, don't you, Cart?
What's the code, Gregory?
SLEEPERS.
With an S.
With two S's, actually.
Okay, obviously it starts with an S. I'm saying at the end of it, it's with an S. It's not sleeper, it's sleeper.
I didn't know what you meant. Get the promo code in the description of this video. Shout out to MyBookie for supporting the show. All right. To the show. You have a YouTube comment of the day today?
I do. This one comes from Maxwell Bennett. I am fully convinced I'm a more skilled post scorer than Zach Edey. He is very talented by way of body control for how big he is and physical, but actual skill, he's not good at all. Maxwell Bennett, you stink at basketball. You stink, brother. You stink, and you don't have the physical tools either to go along with it. So you're the exact opposite of what Zach Edey is as a basketball player.
What a shot at Max Bennett, man. What did he do to deserve this?
I mean, he came on here talking about if he had Edey's height, he'd be just as skilled. I'm like, my brother, it's not just your height. It's the fact that you also don't have skill at the basketball.
We don't know what Max Bennett's skill is. What if Max Bennett's a killer?
Anyone that's commenting this on a YouTube video is not a killer.
What if you had Zach Edey's exact dimensions?
Like height-wise and stuff?
All things Zach Edey were you physically.
That'd be a danger to society because Zach Edey's just like so humble and like the nicest dude. You put me in that situation, like, come on, dog. Like, I'm doing some absolutely out of control things.
In all seriousness, though, you like you're clowning this guy for saying if he was that big, which I think he deserves to be clowned for. But like, I just want to take you. I know what your basketball skill is. If you were Zach Edey's size, where are you playing? What do you think your scholarship opportunities were? And what do your numbers look like?
Probably something like Dane's numbers.
Like, you're not the national player of the year if you're Zach Edey's size.
If I'm Zach Edey's size, I am the national player of the year.
So you can't kill Maxwell then.
I just know Maxwell stinks.
That seems crazy. You also would not be the national player. You would be way more Kenny George than you would be Zach Edey.
That's so disrespectful.
So you think you're a more skilled basketball player than Kenny George?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's disrespectful.
I can shoot.
I'm sure Kenny George can too.
No, he couldn't.
We don't know that. Also, you can't shoot.
I can't shoot.
I mean, define shoot.
You close out.
Like 30% in your men's league is shooting.
Way better than 30%, by the way. Let's not do that. But
I don't know that you are. You get them up.
You're talking to a career 66% three-point shooter.
Yeah, because you took three.
And I made two.
Ridiculous. Let's just move on. I could do this all day with you. We have a lot of comments to get to today. Actually, that's kind of a lie because we did so many yesterday. We don't have that many to get to today, but I am excited for it. Augie says, since we have confirmation that he watches the show, are we sure that at Braden Smith is just tall isn't actually Braden Smith?
Yeah, I don't trust anyone in our Discord that they aren't a current player in college basketball. I have a theory for everyone that they are.
It would be fun to know who every single person in our Discord is player-wise to you, but it is fun to think that players care about us enough to join the Discord. That's fun.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Moon Moon says, is the Big East actually secretly bad? Their two last place teams have less combined conference wins than Michigan.
But the Big East has three good teams with one really, really, really good one. And I don't know. I feel like that makes up for the fact that DePaul is an embarrassment and Georgetown is too.
Yeah, I think the middle of the pack stronger too. Like, I think teams like Seton Hall and Providence are better than Wisconsin to me right now. I mean, Providence destroyed Wisconsin at the beginning of the season. So, but the bottom is definitely that. Let's repeat that so the world hears it, Moon Moon. Michigan would be third to last in the Big East. Hang the banner, Juwan. Your Serbian boiler says, tangent from your Build the Big Ten segment. If you run this for every conference, who do you think wins a conference all-star tournament? If I won the Powerball, I would fund this in a heartbeat and run it right after March Madness. It would be a great opportunity to showcase some top mid-major talent. You could just seed all the conferences based on composite non-conference record. I still think Big Ten would take it, but I would be interested to see what you think.
Oh, I think I'd take the SEC.
I think it would be fun to do this exercise maybe and kind of run through what the teams would actually look like on the show at some point, possibly. But yeah, off the top of my head, I think it's Big 12 or SEC. I just think those teams, those leagues have the best players. Also, they used to do something kind of like this. I don't know if it's still going, but they used to do a 3-on-3 tournament. It was presented by Dos Equis a couple years ago. And a lot of times it would be players from conferences grouped together. So it's like the Big 10 3-on-3 team.
I think they still do that. I think that's like what Titus and Tate host. I think that's a 3-on-3 thing too.
Yeah, but they don't like each other anymore.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen with that.
I want to slide in. We would, let's make it known we're very available for such a thing.
Yeah, very. Dos Equis, if you're listening.
I would make some changes though. Like I would insist on being really needy as like the production manager of this, and we would make some changes to the way the 3-on-3 tournament was held previously.
Like, what's the change?
I have some very creative concepts I'll work with you on, but
okay.
Yeah, that was just like run it 3-on-3, call your own fouls. I don't like that. I need like some elements of 1-on-1. Like, there's no free throws. There's no checkup. It's a lot of, I have some thoughts. Braden Shrewsbury says, I had this debate with Jim Root from the Weave recently. A lot of Jim Root from the Weave talk today. Shout out to 3-Man Weave. Shout out to Kai McKee and Matt Cox as well, by the way. Those guys also do good work with Jim, but we love all three of them. Would like us to settle it. In the tournament setting between these two teams, who do you trust more, TCU or Oklahoma? I have my opinion on the matter, but we'll withhold it until I get your reactions. Do you trust TCU or Oklahoma more?
I trust Oklahoma more.
I trust TCU more.
Why?
I feel like I keep saying this. I don't think McCollum is the star that you've told me he is, and I don't believe Porter Mosier has a future at Oklahoma right now.
Okay. I was just wondering. I'm not mad at your pick. I was just inquiring.
Yeah. Why for you?
Because I think McCollum's a killer, and I think that actually Porter Mosier is a better coach than Jamie Dixon.
Okay. Yeah, I love the passion from Braden and Jim Rutte having this discussion. This might be my least interesting thing I've thought about in a couple months. I'm going to pick both of these teams to lose in the first round, and I am not mad at you for saying you pick one over the other, but it means nothing that Oklahoma is better than TCU or vice versa. That's bad.
Very true.
Coop says, I have a question regarding fouling. You were pretty adamant that the Purdue-Michigan State game was unwatchable. There were 42 fouls and 47 free throws taken. Here are some other games from the weekend. Illinois-Wisconsin, 42 fouls, 53 free throws. He lists like three others that had the same number of fouls or higher and more free throws. My question to you is, what made you feel so strongly about the Purdue-Michigan State game? And do you think there is a preemptive disdain every time Edie goes to the line, since it's widely accepted that it's inevitable? Part of it is Edie, but it's not like I get upset when Edie shoots 20 free throws. I think Edie should be shooting 20 free throws. He does that like every game, and I don't have an issue with it. My issue is when games become, and it is largely Edie-centered, but every single possession is like, did Edie foul him or did Edie get fouled? And it's just so annoying and toxic to me. And there's no way to officiate it, because the reality is both sides are fouling each other every possession. Literally every single possession. And it's not that Edie's trying to foul. It's that Edie is 7'4", and when he just puts his arms up to post up, his elbow hits the other dude in the head every time because of how big he is. It's not his fault. But if any other player in the country elbows a dude in the head, you get called for a foul. Edie doesn't, because he's not trying to elbow a dude in the head. He's just raising his arms and they hit the guy's head. But there's no way to guard him, because when you get hit in the head trying to guard Zach Edie, you end up bear hugging his arms. And then again, it's who fouled who first. Both players are getting fouled every possession. It happens for 40 minutes. Some teams do it less against Purdue because they just don't have the bodies to try and be physical. Michigan State had four centers take chances at this. They basically fouled every possession. Edie was also fouling every possession. And then Purdue fans are in the mentions saying, well, don't foul then if you don't want a foul fest. There's fouls on both sides every possession. And then we had a Hall of Famer in Tom Izzo begging for calls, and he got those calls. And it went beyond Edie. Instead of just being Edie and whoever's guarding Edie, we were getting touch calls elsewhere because the refs were trying to make Tom Izzo feel good to make up the fact that they were making Zach Edie feel good. It was a mess. They had no plan. There was the sequence where, they just totally botched the call. Foster Lawyer was talking about it on Twitter. Like, Fletcher was on the drive and there was a goaltend call, and then Purdue got the ball back. And there was a shooting foul. I've never seen it. They have no idea what they were doing. They botched the call. This whole crew was just completely incompetent. It wasn't about the number of fouls called or the number of free throws shot. It was the fact that it was the choppiest half I've ever seen, with no rhyme or reason for what was being called.
Yeah, you pretty much covered everything that I would have said right there. I got nothing to add.
Disgusting. GBoo4 says, this is a plug to join the Dub Club / Discord in general. Greg paid for my rent plus some on Saturday. If you're a better and not signed up, what are you even doing with your life, man? GBoo, thank you. I appreciate you big time. I sent a message to the Dub Club. There's like 140-ish subscribers to that paid for it at the beginning of the season. And it's been weighing on me truly, because this has been my worst betting year with college basketball since I started doing this 4 years ago. And this is the first year that I've asked people to pay for it. So, like, the last three seasons, you know this, like, really just comfortably in the green by a lot of units. And I know a lot of people that have tailed have made money on it. This year, not the case. I was, like, 20 units under 500 on the year. The video picks I do publicly are above 500, but, like, down 5 or 6 units since the beginning of the season. Not great. Like, that's really been weighing on me. I felt really guilty about it. So, to be able to hit something big like the parlay that I did and really swing this, like, now up 80 units on the season if you actually bet it, feels really good. And it's not necessarily a reminder that I know what I'm doing, but I just hope the people that have been tailing and supporting this season were able to cash in a little bit, like GBoo was, because I feel bad that, if anything, I've cost people money this year, and hopefully that was...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get out of jail free card a little bit, and people had fun along the way. So,
yeah, also a reminder, don't victory lap too soon. We don't stay down. I don't know if y'all have realized that. Like, there is no down for the sleepers. We're always going to find our way to get back up. So to the haters out there, the shout out to Drizzy, the tweet, the leaders, we still see y'all, okay? There's no hiding. I'm glad you got your little tweet off about, oh, duh, this is a tough year for Gregory. Where you at now, huh? Where you at now? Who's Dub Club you subscribing to now? Nobody's. We always get back up. We always fight back, damn it, one way or the other.
I felt really good moving $18,000 into family savings Monday morning. Yeah. That was really nice. Yeah, Jay Cohen says, what do you think the ceiling of a fully healthy Northwestern team would have been? Final four. I know you don't want to hear that, but with the right draw, Boo Booey and Ty Berry and the fully healthy team, I think was a team that could beat anybody.
I would have said Elite Eight.
Yeah, and if you make the Elite Eight, like, you can obviously make the Final Four. It depends on who you got. UK says, call your shot and rank these coaches based on the order in which they will retire. Bill Self, John Calipari, Tom Izzo, Tony Bennett.
Self first, just because I think health plays a factor into it. I go Self most likely. Izzo, Bennett, Cal.
Yeah, I disagree strongly. I think Tony Bennett's out first, maybe as soon as this year. I think,
but you think retire though? How old is Tony Bennett?
I just think he, like, of all coaches, like a Jay Wright style, like, I'm done with this shit. Like, he's not gonna get 5-star freshman, he's not getting the elite transfers, he's not playing the NIL game crazy, and his product is hurting for it, and I think his fan base is getting hurt. Like, does Tony Bennett really want to go elsewhere? And no, like, he's either staying at Virginia or not, and I think Virginia fans would not mind if he moved on right now. So
he'd be a good fit in Michigan, actually.
He would be, but I don't think it's gonna happen. I think Tony would retire over that. So I think Tony Bennett will go out first in, like, a surprise retirement style. I think Bill Self will be second for health concerns in the next 5 to 10 years. I think Cal is going to go somewhere else after Kentucky whenever he's done. So I guess he's probably the last, because I think he has maybe 10 to 15 to 20 years left, honestly. And then Izzo, I mean, I don't think Izzo's ever going to retire. I truly think Izzo might, this is morbid, but I think he might die as the head coach at Michigan State. But I think Cal might still be coaching by the time that time comes.
I think Izzo's done within the next 5 years.
I think everybody wants to project that, but, like, the man, do you not, I don't mean this the joke, not even joke way, the disgusting way, but I don't, do you not get some, like, Joe Paterno, I'm never leaving vibes from Tom Izzo?
Do I get, like, I'm never leaving, like, I will die at the helm of this program. I will stay here until I'm forced to go out. Yes.
And that's, like, when you remember, obviously, the Sandusky thing was horrendous and marred all of this, but, like, Paterno was coaching, like, it from an elderly home the final couple years. Yeah. Like, that's, I think that could happen with Tom Izzo. I really do. I guess we'll see. Boiler Khan says, what's your preferred type of fan to interact with? One, overly pessimistic fans, doom and gloom types that hate their own teams and are constantly critical, or two, overly optimistic fans that always think they're going to win it all and think they can never do any wrong.
I like doom and gloom fans.
I don't like either of these. I guess I like doom and gloom better, but I'd rather, like, measured, somewhat realistic fans in the middle.
I just like reality. I like reality. Yeah.
I just think, like, you can be optimistic without being like, everything's fine, our coach is always right. That's what bugs me about the optimism. But if you want to just be optimistic, but admit your coach is doing some things wrong occasionally, I'm fine with it. Pessimistic annoys me because, like, just why? Like, at least find some joy in something.
Sorry.
It's okay. I don't know. Just there's a middle ground. I'm avoiding that question. That's it for today. I think that's everything from the Discord. Join the Discord. Did we get any new signups again last night? I think we did. Yeah, Mark Hoffey. Mark Hoffey is in the Discord. Shout out to Mark. I think that's everybody new. Approaching 170 paid subscribers, supporting the show. Number one thing you can do to help us. And really, the more this community grows, the more we do videos, the more we get partnerships like MyBookie. Use the link in the description. The more this business becomes sustainable for us as we get into the off season here. Okay, to the show. Three topics today. We're going to start with the Dalton Kincaid Zach Edey thing. Let's just do it. Let's get it out of the way.
Great.
Does Dalton Kincaid belong in the conversation with Zach Edey for National Player of the Year? Yes or no?
No.
Do you care to elaborate or no?
Zach Edey is the National Player of the Year. What, like, belong in the conversation is such a, what, I'm probably going to butcher this. Isn't it just such an open-ended, like, term? Like, what does in the conversation mean? Like, to me, I'm in the conversation with Michael B. Jordan on looks. But, like, obviously I'm not. But in my head, I'm in the conversation. I lose a few pounds here or there. I think I could make a run at it.
Yeah, I mean, you have... I'm in a reserve commentary.
Oh, wait. Oh, what's going on here, Greg? Don't do this.
I was going to compliment your appearance, and I'm stopping myself from doing it. Yeah, I think in the conversation to me would be like, is there still a world where Dalton could win this year? Yes or no?
That world wouldn't have Zach Edey in it. Yes, in that world he could.
Okay, let me take you down a hypothetical path then. There's two games left in the season. Tennessee is about to win the SEC championship. Purdue's about to win the Big Ten championship, or so we think. Let me explain a hypothetical path, and you tell me if Dalton Kincaid would win the award. Tennessee goes at South Carolina. They win that game by 40. Dalton Kincaid has 45 points.
Okay.
Tennessee goes back at home against Kentucky, final game of the season. They need a win to clinch the SEC outright. Dalton Kincaid goes for 52 points. They score 120, and they beat Kentucky by 50, 120 to 70. Purdue goes at Illinois. Zach Edey fouls out, has 12 points and 6 rebounds. They lose at Illinois. Purdue goes back home at Mackey. Zach Edey has 14 points and 8 rebounds, and they lose to Greg Garden, Wisconsin. They actually split the Big Ten with Illinois. Would Dalton Kincaid win National Player of the Year if that exact sequence of events occurred in the final week?
No.
It might. That's the only way, right? That's the only way I think it would actually be like even a semi-toss-up.
I would have the conversation then. I would have the conversation, but Zach Edey would still win National Player of the Year.
You would still land on Edey.
Yeah.
Okay, so then in conclusion, then Dalton Kincaid should not be in the conversation.
No.
If there's not a world where that could happen and he could win it, then let's just shut this down. Why do you think this became such a big thing?
Because Rocky Top Ball 97 brought up the point that Zach Edey is just tall, and Dalton Kincaid is going for 30 and 40 points out here and going crazy, coming off a 16-point performance, by the way, and a win over Alabama, for those who are wondering. But yeah,
he was kind of bad in that game.
Yeah, that's what it's. And I, once again, like you spoke on it on yesterday's episode. I hate that this is a thing because it's actually not a thing. So it's just not. I think that a few volunteer accounts maybe said something along the lines of, oh, which is, you know, which is not out of line, by the way. Like a volunteer fan, a Tennessee volunteer fan, said that their player should be National Player of the Year. That's not a crazy ass thing to be said by them. It's probably something that you would expect. But it's not a real thing. It's not real dialogue. Not a flex, but somewhat of a flex. Like, we talk to a lot of, like, national college basketball guys on a daily basis, and none of them even consider it. It's widely known that Zach Edey is National Player of the Year, and there is nothing that can occur, even in the world that Gregory just described you do, that Dalton Kincaid wins National Player of the Year.
Yeah, I also want Edey to get some points because he's out here tweeting, leave him off the All-American team if Braden Smith isn't on it. I don't see Dalton Kincaid doing that for Zakai Ziegler. So great teammate points for Zach Edey, which I love. Okay. Dalton Connect seems really polarizing because not only is he in a fight with Purdue fans over should he be in the conversation with Edey, he's also in a fight with Illinois fans over is he better than Terrence Shannon? Is Dalton Connect better than Terrence Shannon?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
We got a lot of shit for putting Shannon on our third team All-American team. I understand why. We've stood by our decision and we are reiterating our decision. It's because he missed a bunch of games. That's it. If he didn't miss a bunch of games, he would have been a no-brainer bona fide first team All-American. If he didn't miss a bunch of games, would he be the second or third name on your list? After, I mean, Edey's one. We would have Connect two right now. Would Terrence Shannon come ahead of him or behind him if Shannon hadn't missed 3 weeks?
I think he'd still be behind Connect, but I think he would be third.
Why?
Why do I think he's behind Connect?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, this is the whole thing, too, like with the National Player of the Year thing. Like, do you team success factors into that, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, if TSJ is with Illinois this whole time, are they more successful as a team? Probably. But I don't know. I think I would just still give the edge to Connect. It's close to the conversation, in my opinion, but I still think I'd give the edge to Connect.
Okay. Here's where I'm at. If I was building a team, I would take Terrence Shannon over Dalton Connect. I think they are – like, Dalton Connect is a better offensive player, just pure scorer. He is. Terrence Shannon's unstoppable in transition, but Connect is so much more valuable in a half-court setting than Shannon is. Defensively, it's an even larger gap because Shannon is way better than Connect. It's not close. Like, the gap defensively is bigger than the gap offensively. Points for Shannon. I can't put Shannon ahead of Connect when in crunch time – Shannon is deferring to a different player on Illinois. And it's a credit to Terrence Shannon that he's doing that because Damask is actually better than him in a half-court setting.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But if there's a different player on your team who's better than you in a half-court setting, I need the guy who's the best half-court scorer in the country to be a little higher. So,
very, very good point.
Shannon would be third. If he had played all season for me, it goes Edey, it goes Connect, it goes Shannon. And like I said, if I was building a team, I would take Shannon because I think on both sides of the floor, he's more valuable. But is what it is. Okay. Any other Dalton Connect thoughts?
If you're sleeping on the white boy, what does that make you?
Makes you Dalton Connect. That's what happens. Let's move on.
That needs to be released.
I wanted to put a little EP together of the Juwan song and then Dalton Connect freestyle, and then I have another Juwan song cooking.
I think we can get a nice little four track EP.
I might have to drop the second. I think the second Juwan song is better than the first one.
What is it? A cover? Is it what beat?
It's another. The only Juwan songs I sing are country songs.
Okay, so what song is it covering?
It's Cover Me Up by Morgan Wallen made it famous covering a Jason Isbell song, but.
Oh God, here we go.
Yeah, there's some good bars in that. He came from Miami, he cried with his family, and we went berserk. It's just great. Literary genius. Let's move on. We did a snake draft with DK of teams to win the national championship. I want to go reverse, and we'll be relatively quick on this with only two people here. I want to draft four teams each to lose in the first round. The way this works, you get a point per the seed that you lose to. And there's only one round. If they win their first round game, you get 0 points for that team. So you are encouraged to take teams that are going to be really highly seeded in the tournament. If you choose a 1 seed, they lose to a 16 seed, you get 16 points. You choose a 2 seed, they lose to a 15 seed, you get 15 points. Goal is to have more points than each other. Just who will lose in the first round. Do you want the first pick or the second pick?
I would like the second pick.
Okay. Teams we're selling in March, basically. Who do we think can lose in the first round? First overall. I think if I didn't take this team, you would for sure take them on the turnaround, I think. I'm going to take Alabama, who is 1-8 against KenPom top 25 opponents.
Okay.
I think Bama might be a 2 or a 3 seed, by the way. So I think there's 15 to 14 points available for me there.
Got you. And it's only one, it's literally that first, it's not first weekend, it's first round, right?
If they win the first game, they move. Nothing else. I just want it's it. Do they lose their first game and that is it?
Ooh, man, I'm so tempted to okay. All right. For my first pick, and I feel bad doing this, but I am going to take Kansas. I'm going to take Kansas. And it hurts me because I think that no matter what, Bill Self will not allow them to lose in the first round, despite what's going on. But I still think there's value there. I mean, they're going to be a projected 3 seed. So possible 14 points there. So, or wait, sorry. 3 seed. Yeah, 14.
I don't hate that. You get a second pick coming back.
Okay. I think I will go with safer pick, but I feel pretty confident that I'm going to get points here. I think I'm going to take Wisconsin.
How many? So do you think Kansas would be like a 4 or 5? So you'd get like a 12 or 13?
Yeah.
And then what you have Wisconsin. I tweeted that Wisconsin is going to be a 5 and people yelled at me. I'm not a bracketologist. It was a joke.
I'm assuming they're going to be like a 6.
Okay. They might be even like a 7. So that, okay. 10 points would be good. Safe pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you let me the board's really open for me here. I'm going to take 2 teams I feel great about losing early. I really am. Fraud alert. Ring the fraud alert alarms. I'm taking 2 teams from the Big 12 conference, Baylor and BYU.
Baylor and BYU, huh?
Baylor and BYU are very similar to me. Great offenses, horrible defenses. What'd you do in the non-conference? Oh, you beat up on a bunch of really bad teams. What happened when Baylor had to go into the intimidating environment of Little Caesars Arena? They got dog-walked by A.J. Hogarth. Woo, that's scary. Yeah, I don't know. I think a cold shooting night would essentially doom both of these teams. And my methodology here has been pretty much just going to evanmia.com. Shout out Evan Miyakawa and his brand new opponent adjust metric that he launched last week that Eric Haslam tried to dunk on him for, which was ridiculous, by the way. It shows how good a team plays up or down to their competition. I just drafted 3 teams that have been horrible against good competition. And Kansas is good against good competition. So I feel really good about where I'm at right now.
Okay. I like those picks. For what it's worth, I feel good about your picks too. I don't know if that means anything to you, but
okay, thanks.
Okay. For my next pick, I have 2 right now, right?
You have 2, yep.
Okay. I'm gonna go Clemson with the pick for the one. I think they're projected 5 seed. If I'm not mistaken.
That's gotta fall by now, but maybe.
Okay. I'm gonna take Clemson. And I'm going to take San Diego State.
Clemson, San Diego State, huh? Okay. I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. Why San Diego State?
Just 2 teams I think have good, like one good player, to be honest with. Like, I don't trust Girard, the backcourt on Clemson. I like Butler, Tramiel, but like I just don't trust that team outside of Ladie.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really trying to game the system here and just pick like a 16 seed that I know is going to lose first round in case all four of your teams win and I just get one, like the Price is Right style. I get 1 point and I win.
That's cool.
I am not going to do that, though. I'm going to back up the talk that I've said all year, and this goes against Evan Mia's site, but I'm taking Auburn. Taking Auburn. I really think Auburn and or Alabama will lose game one. I don't know which one, but if I get one of those, I feel really good about this. I took the two frauds from the SEC and the two frauds from the Big 12 and put all my chips in on those four and see what happens. There you have it.
Wait, I don't have one more pick left?
No, that's not how a snake draft works when we're drafting four teams. Who are you going to pick?
I was going to pick Michigan State.
Yeah, nope.
Damn.
I was going to pick Purdue if we kept going.
That's crazy.
Mostly because I feel like my team had already cooked you, so why not, like, take the shot on the 16?
I don't know why you get so confident in these drafts. Like, your teams just cook me. Cook mine.
I have not lost a draft to you ever. I'm losing bets to you right now, sleepers bets, but I'm not. Haven't lost a draft to you ever.
Yeah, well, I've broken through on the sleeper bet side. Now I'm going to break through on the draft side.
One day. Okay, the final topic today. This one should be fun. I'm excited to see what your brain cooks up for this. I want to know who would win between the best five transfers in college basketball versus the best five freshmen. So rules with this, you can't take a guy who transferred 2 years ago, just like you can't take a guy who was a freshman 2 years ago. They need to be freshmen this season or transfers this season. Other rules to even this out, you have to take at least two transfers that transferred down a level. Because I think if we just chose transfers that transferred up a level, no disrespect, I think the transfer team would wash the freshman team this year. The freshman class just isn't that special. So I need three guys who up transferred, two guys who down transferred, versus five freshmen. I need to know who they both are. And the last stipulation, John Calipari's coaching the all-freshman team. Juwan Howard is coaching the transfer team.
Ooh, okay. That's a lot. That down transfer one, that's going to –
it's a curveball. It's a curveball.
That's a curveball. Okay. Ooh, do we want to start with transfer team or do we want to start with freshman team?
You pick. I'm not even arguing with you on players. This is all you're picking the players.
All me. Okay.
Yep. Right, I'm here for help if you need them, but
okay. So freshman team. All right. Kentucky. Let's move on to transfer team. okay, but I think for my freshman team, I do want Rob Dillingham and I actually do want Reese Shepard. I think I want that to be my backcourt. Do you have any qualms with that? Do we want like Isaiah Collier in there?
No, I want Robin Reed.
Robin Reed, okay.
Yep.
So I'm gonna go Rob Reed, Jacoby Walter at the three. The four position. Am I missing a clear freshman here at the four position?
I don't think so at the four, at least not one I can think of right now. As far as fives go, Eve Missy.
I was going to – is it cheating if I want to go Reed, Rob – Stephon Castle, Jacoby Walter at the four, Eze Misty at the five.
No, I like that team. I like that. I think that's the best team you could build, honestly.
I think that's my freshman team right there.
Okay.
Transfer team. I think the easy one, you got to take the two up guys, is Kinect and Dickinson, right?
Yeah, I think those are no-brainers.
No-brainers, okay. I was going to see if you want to make an argument for Keshawn Johnson being – maybe there with instead of Dickinson.
I think it would be alongside Dickinson if you were going to go that route, which is fine.
Oh yeah, because I only need two downtrend. Okay, mm-hmm. Actually, okay, I love this then. Let me go Dalton Connect, Shad Johnson, Hunter Dickinson as a three, okay. And then the two down transfers I will take. Let me just double check something right here. I'm not going to do is I'm not going to put Pierre Brooks into this nonsense.
Also, Pierre Brooks isn't a down transfer.
That doesn't count as a down transfer?
Big 10 to Big East, no.
This is a tough exercise because I don't even know if I know any like down transfers
I
like
have a
that. Do
couple
you?
names for you.
Please.
I have no idea how to say his last name. That's on me. Big Mike from
Oh,
Dayton.
Mongolian Mike?
Yeah, Mongolian Mike.
Oh, he went from Dayton to the WCC?
Yeah, he's at San Francisco.
Does that count as a down transfer?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't
Are we
know.
saying no? We're saying no on that?
A10 to the WCC?
I mean, Dayton. Okay. Jalen Hill at UNLV from Oklahoma.
Oh, hold on a second. Does David Jones count? Big East to American?
I guess David Jones counts. I don't feel great about it. I feel
Okay.
like he defeats the purpose, but I guess he counts.
He kind of he does he definitely kind of does defeat the purpose
David
somewhat.
Jones counts. You can do David Jones. It's a loophole, but it's a smart cutthroat play by you.
All right. Now on this last one, I truly want to go like I need like a power five guy that is cooking right now in like the Mountain West. Or sorry, not the Mountain West, like
What
the
position do you need?
I need a point.
That's going to make things difficult, I feel like.
Why?
Because all the other options I had for you were like bigs, but I can look.
Well, what bigs do you have? Because I'd be willing to sub out like Keshad Johnson.
Tell me who the backup would be for Keshad first.
Well, who's the well tell me who the big is first.
I want to know what your alternatives are.
No, tell me who
Johan
the big is first.
Traore has been pretty good, from Auburn to Santa Barbara, right? I think.
Santa Barbara. Okay.
If you need a guard, I'm coming up with some right now.
Well, I would go Ray J. Dennis.
I mean, that's not bad. You love Ray J. If you wanted to go the other way, I think Chuck Harris would count as a guard. Chuck Harris has been pretty good at SMU. He was out from Butler to SMU.
Okay. I want to sub in Ray J. So give me Ray J. Dalton. Ray J. Dalton, David Jones, Traore, and Dickinson. Don't know
Okay.
how I feel about the fit of that team.
Yeah, kind of clunky. I don't know that I love Traore. I talked you into that and it feels gross now.
You were so convincing.
I know. There's got to be somebody at like the small levels that we're just totally missing. I'm trying to look really quick.
Now, where's Eli and Sean Paul when you need them?
Yeah, there's definitely like a super obvious one that we just are we're bad at. Blame 247's rankings because I'm going all the way. What about Bobby Pettiford?
Where's he playing at now?
He's at East Carolina.
Yeah, they've been kind of they've been stinky, I feel like.
He's also not good. Don't do Bobby
You
Pettiford.
just like naming down transfers here.
Are you so you're locking in the five you had? Oh, Cart. Andre Curbelo.
Oh, how dare I not have Bello as my point? Okay, back to this. Ray J. Dennis is out. Bello at point. Bello at point. Don't connect. David Jones, Keshad Johnson, Dickinson.
I like that team.
I feel good about that team.
I like that team a lot. Okay, so are you taking Juwan Howard and Andre Curbelo and the others who are very good? Juwan Howard, Hunter Dickinson, and Andre Curbelo, or John Calipari and Reed Sheppard and Rod.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dillingham and even more talented freshmen.
I'm taking the freshman team.
I'm taking the freshman team too. I thought that exercise would be a lot more fun than it was, but apparently not.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, it was fun just to show how little we know down transfers.
I just know we're missing somebody just like completely.
I know there's like a killer that I've probably put on a ton of different like I do a lot of the Field of 68 mid-major stuff for Sean Paul, and I just don't know. I don't know who it is.
I mean, well, you said it had to be that, like, one of the obvious choices would have been like Grant Foster, but I think he's at his second year at Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I don't think that counts for sure.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's wrap the show. One big thing presented by Big B. What do you got?
My one big thing is that I think that snapbacks should never die as hats.
Hmm.
Okay. I want that to be. I think a lot of emphasis or comebacks are coming for like fitteds or like I'm a victim of it right now. I like the Velcro strap or some type of strap golf hat type thing. I just want to let it be known that snapbacks will never or should never actually go away. It's such a versatile hat. It's the best fitting hat in my opinion, and I just want to make sure I carry on its legacy. And that gives you a great chance, Gregory, to show you. I fell victim to the TikTok shop for the first time in my life. Like, are you aware of what the TikTok shop is?
No.
Like, you can literally shop on TikTok, like, for products. And it's pretty good deals on some of this stuff. And I fell victim to that. And I bought this Arizona, like, Diamondback snapback that I really like. It's very clean, stylish. The purple's kind of fire. I got this hat for, like, $12.
I actually really like that hat. Yeah, it's a good hat. It's a
nice hat, right?
You do a lot
of... I can turn it around, a little purple, a little white. It's pretty good, you know.
Good why didn't hat. You just Why didn't you just wear that on the show today? Why did you save it for unveiling it?
Because I was thinking about getting a fit off and champagne with it.
Oh, yeah, you should. That's really nice. Okay, yeah, I love that hat. Great hat. Also, I have just the actual Arizona Diamondbacks hat that is also white up here and purple brim. So if you wear that, maybe I'll wear mine and we can just make fools of ourselves in Champaign.
Who's your favorite Arizona Diamondback of all time?
Luis Gonzalez.
I was going to say that too.
I don't think you were. I don't think you know who that is.
Yes, I do. Number 20? Don't disrespect me.
Number 20?
Yeah.
Number 20?
Yeah.
Let's send this to the stats and research department real quick.
He's number 20, I know for a fact.
Let's just send this to the stats and research department real quick. He is number 20. Wow.
Yeah, don't disrespect me, please.
Had no idea you were a baseball guy.
I used to love the Diamondbacks because that was the name of like my youth team. I was the Diamondbacks. They were many were comparing me to a young, light-skinned Randy Johnson back in the day.
I don't think that's true, but okay. My one big thing presented by Big B is I'm golfing today. I can't wait.
What score prediction?
I mean, the game does not feel good. I'd go through this thing where I forget how to swing a golf club, and it takes me like a couple weeks to remember. But if I'm going to a course where I was consistently shooting mid-80s at the end of last season, if I break 90 round one, I'll be real happy.
Are you 18 or 9?
Most likely 9, but I have this way of playing golf as a dad when we bring Murph with us, because my wife will come and ride in the cart and carry Murph, where I just play two balls on each of the 9 holes and add it up, and it's my 18-hole score.
Okay. First round of Moscow Mules on me, if you break 40 on the front.
Okay, deal. I'll let you know what happens. Right. That's the Sleepers Podcast. Good luck, Purdue and Illinois. We'll see you Wednesday.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.